Where God is, there is a river. And I want you to know that God dwells in this tabernacle. And since he dwells in here, the Bible said that from me will flow rivers of living. From my belly flow rivers of living water. And so when I speak from the belly, when I speak out from my belly, I need you to get in the flow, because we can't let the enemy dam this up. We can't let him be a spiritual beaver and stop the flow of God's river. And so what I came to do, I came to move the blockade. I came to say, let it flow, let it flow, let it, yeah. There's a river. Oh, the city, it makes me glad. The ones that are in the city, I want you to get this. They had the enemy all around them. That wouldn't let nothing go out or come in. They had thunders and earthquakes, and they had all kind of stuff that was going on around them. But they said, even though the enemy's all around and all this stuff is happening all around me, the environment just don't seem right for me to be happy. Even when the environment don't seem right for you to be happy or to be glad, you just need to know, you know, you have no choice. Because at some point you got to get in the river. At some point you got to drink from the river. And whatever in the contents of the river, it ends up nourishing you. And so when you have a sad heart, it gives you joy down in the inside. When you have a troubled mind, it'll give you peace that surpasses all you understand. I wish I had a few people in here. It'll put skipping in your feet. And I wish I had somebody and waving in your hands and shouting on your lips. And you'll begin to tell the Lord what a good God he is, that how he picked you up and turned your life around. You'll begin to tell the Lord that he's a rock of your salvation, that the Lord is your light and your salvation. I wish I had somebody. You'll begin to tell God that I know my Redeemer lives. You can become like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You'll become like Job and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Is there anybody here that said, I know that the Lord lives, because he woke me up early this morning? Somebody say, yeah. I want to stop right there, but I can't. He said, God, verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God is in the midst of where? In the midst of where we worship. He's in the midst of where we praise. He's in the midst of her, and she shall not be what? God is not going to allow you to be moved. He's a presence. He's there with us. He's there to protect us. You know, when we look at the word, he said that he...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. Thank you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord. Why?
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 11. And I just want to start off at a portion of verse 1 because we were teaching this week in this 11th number of Psalm. And of course, Isaiah chapter 28 and 10 says, precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little, which means you can't get it all at one time. God will give you a little bit. It's like now, ladies. Somebody ought to hear me today. He'll give you a little now, and he'll give you a little bit later. And that's why you cannot exhaust the word of God. It yet gives birth to new meaning and understanding. So Psalm number 11, verse 1, begin reading with me, if you will. Begin now. Stop. Say it again. You may be seated.
Amen, amen. Come on, doctor.
In the Lord put I my trust. I want to talk for a little while this morning from the subject, I trust God. I trust God. What a declaration. In times like these, to be able to declare unequivocally, without hesitation or reservation, I trust God. Doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter the circumstances, I trust God. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, doesn't matter what goes through me, I trust God. Doesn't matter how many enemies may be against me, and in the flesh I stand by myself, but here's what I know, I trust God. I don't care what the weather says, what the report says, what the news says, what the newspaper says, what the Facebook says, what all of these negative things say, I trust God. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know David is speaking here, and this is at a point in time in his life when he was anointed to be the next king, but not yet appointed to be the next king. Saul was now the present king, and Saul was out to kill David. Saul, who had been the king for some 40 years, who had lost his anointing in the third year of his kingship, and yet God still allowed him to keep the job. Saul had issues with David because David began to win favor both with God and with man. the people would sing songs like, Saul has killed his thousand, but David has killed his 10,000. It was all because God was with David. Because from a young boy, David put his trust in God. And as he walked with God, grew with God, matured in God, God saw fit to elevate him and to promote him and to place him in the position of king of Israel. But because David had too much respect for the word, the will, and the way of God, he would not kill Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. He made it clear, I will not touch God's anointed. And so therefore, he did give him little reminders of the fact that he could have killed him. Even when he was sleeping, cut a piece of his robe and showed, listen, I could have taken you out of here. So many times, David had the ability to remove him, but he honored the position, even though the man in the position was not worthy of it. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is the period now that David remembers and speaks about. And he says, in the Lord put I my trust. And then he says this, how say ye? How say ye to my soul? Do what? Flee as a bird to your mountain. Now, I want to share something about this verse so that you'll understand. There were three things that was clear with David here. One was he had the proper confidence. And even though at a period in time he had the proper companion, he had learned that everybody who's around you isn't with you. And then he had to realize that they did not have the proper communication. Because here he deals with the fact that he makes it clear that he trusts God. How can they who say to him, to his, listen at what part they speak to now, not to his flesh, not to his mind, but to his soul. Listen, that part that is most like God, flee as a bird to your mountain. It is known that birds, especially timid birds, will find the highest place, a hill, a mountain, a treetop, whatever is the highest place that they can flee to from adversaries, from predators, from danger. And so, like a bird, they wanted David to move from where he was into a place for refuge. David says, wait a minute, we've got some issues here. I trust God. Listen, what you're saying doesn't line up with the word of God, and it doesn't line up with the will of God. I trust God. See, one of the things you're going to know, brothers and sisters, you can tell when people's conversation is of God or not. Because the conversation is going to sound like God. It's going to take its reference from the word of God. It's going to line up with the word. Listen, they want him to run. They want him to move. They're talking to him as if they're trying to persuade him to move from the place where he is to the place they think would be safer for him. But how many of you know there's no safer place than the will of God? David wanted to be in the will of God. Verse 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow They've been their bow. They are preparing their arrow upon the string that they might listen. They want to privately take out those who are upright in heart. That three things I want to show you in that verse. One is that the wicked always do their dirt in secret. They're doing what they do in secret. But when they set their arrow upon the string, it means that they are setting their sights, trying to get him in their sight. But then thirdly, it is because they want to specifically shoot those who not are wicked, not are wrong, not are down, but who are upright in heart. In other words, they are speaking out of the real concerns of their heart. They don't want David on the throne because David is right. Saul is wrong. And see, you've got to recognize they want like people representing them. And see, David comes in and things are going to change because David's going to do it God's way. And you got folk who don't want to do it. And you'll learn, brothers and sisters, that there are people even in church who don't want things done God's way. And so he's clear about they work, operate in secret. They set their sights on the upright, and they specifically try to shoot, take out. But you know what I love about the verse? It says that they may shoot at, not hit. Y'all gonna catch that one in your meditation time. That they may shoot at the upright in the heart, not hit, because there are some things you've got to know about the Lord. When the Lord protects you, when the Lord keeps you, when the Lord covers you, that there ain't nothing the enemy can do. This is the same David who says later in the 27th number, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, what? Even my enemies and my foes, they come upon me to eat up my flesh. They what? Stumble and fail. Then he jumped down to the fifth verse. Look at what he says. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall lift me up upon a rock. Listen, and my brothers and sisters, you need to know, you ain't got to run when God is on your side. You can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so David was making clear, I don't have to run to no mountain, flee to no mountain. I can stand still because I trust God. And God has the ability to lift me up above my enemies and have me to look around about them, and I see them, but they don't see me. Isn't it good when the enemy is trying to do you harm, trying to take you out? You don't have to run and hide. You can stand still and know God's got you covered. They're looking at you and looking for you and can't see you. Lord, I wish I had a helper. But then the verse says, if the foundations be destroyed? What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? Now, David is looking at this. Saul represents the highest position in the land. He represents God, law, order, justice. If the foundations be destroyed, if law and order is destroyed, what happens to the victims who come through the court systems to get vindication? What can they do if the judge is crooked? If the lawyers get together and work out a deal and they get no justification, no vindication, they get no kind of relief from their situation, what can they do? Well, here's the reason why I want you to understand it. Because if any foundation is destroyed, there are three reasons why it's destroyed. Reason number one is that the foundation is made up is corrupted. It's contaminated within certain parts of its makeup. And so wherever there is corruption and contamination in the foundation, the next level is you'll see a crack. I wish I had somebody here. You don't always see the corruption. You don't always see the contamination that's in the foundation. But after time, after storms, after the sun shines, and after it's been tested for a while, the reality of what's in it is going to show up. And then when that corruption can't hold together the weight that's on the foundation, it begins to crack. But if the crack is not taken care of, it begins to crumble. And that crumbling part, again, if not taken care of, because every sign is a warning sign to get it together. And if it's not taken care of, then ultimately that foundation will be destroyed. But what can the righteous do? Do they run? Do they flee? Or do they trust God? Because the highest foundation that man can put his trust in and rest all of his faith upon is God himself. And that's a foundation that will never be contaminated, never crack, never crumble, and never be destroyed. And I like the way he goes on into the fourth verse. He just turns his attention to the God. For the Lord is in his holy temple. And listen at this. And what else does he say about it? And the Lord's throne, the throne, is in heaven. Now, what does those things mean? Now, he's making clear that the foundations have crumbled, but not God's. First of all, when he talks about for the Lord is in his holy temple, he's talking about the presence of God. Presence of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you've got to recognize is that when you have issues and problems and circumstances and storms in your life and things you can't deal with, the one reason why the devil don't want you to come to church is because that's where God's presence is manifested. He tries to keep you away from there because in the house of the Lord, with the presence of God comes his peace, comes his provision, comes his power, comes all of the things that you have need of, your soul has need of. So he don't want you to come where God is. He tries to keep you away from there. And when you recognize that the place where God is the place the people of God ought to be. Don't get me wrong. God is everywhere. God is everywhere, and he is with his people. But there's nothing like coming to God's house. And I make it clear, you know, if he can come to my house 6 days out of the week, I ought to be able to come to his house one day out of the week. If I trust God, if God watches over me, and if God doesn't slumber, and if he doesn't sleep, and if he's taking care of me, I know I have my alarms on. I know I have my bars, burglar bars on. I know I'm covered, and I know I've got that. But how many of you know that can't keep you if the devil wants to get to you? Can't. It may slow him down, but it can't keep you. Only God can. You can be in the house with no locks on it. But if God is watching over you and angels are encamped around your doors, the devil in hell came. I wish I had a helper. So when he talks about the Lord is in his holy temple, it's talking about the presence of God. But it talks about the throne of God being in heaven, talks about the position of God. Why is that so important? Because position speaks of honor. It speaks of power. It speaks of the privilege that belongs to God and God alone. His throne is in heaven. In heaven. Now, he's a mighty God who can have his throne in heaven and his house on earth and be at both of them at the same time. What a God we serve. Listen. And he says in the word, what does his eyes do? His eyes behold. What does the word behold mean? It means to see. See. To see clearly. To see closely. His eyes behold. But then when it talks about his eyelids, try the children of men. What is he talking about there? Not only does he see with his eyes, but he scrutinizes with his eyelids. Y'all gonna catch this in a minute. What does the word scrutinize mean? It means to examine and investigate thoroughly. God examines and investigates thoroughly the activity and actions of men. Listen, he's not like man now. He's just, he's honest, he's pure. So listen at this. One, he tries the believer. He tests him. He allows you to go through some things. That's why we ought not faint and fuss about what God is allowing in our lives to happen. Because Paul picked up on this and said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his In other words, God will let you go.